Ladies and gentlemen, prepare yourselves for a shock.
Ready to be challenged? Maybe a little offended, but definitely shocked. This is Shock Therapy Live. Your therapy session with Nate Heitzig. We're not looking for stump the pastor questions, so put down your Devos and open your diaries. Really, this isn't systematic theology.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Not at all.
This is Shock Therapy Live. Now, here's Steve-O.
Yes!
Hey, why does it say here's Steve-O? Why can't he ever say here's Nate?
Because I started
it. What's up with that?
What's up with that? What? What's up with that?
Dude, did you guys watch the SNL 3.5 hour deal?
Yeah. I only saw like the first. We saw like 2.5 hours and went to sleep.
Yeah, dude, it was so funny.
We recorded. We still have it. We recorded.
I Hulu'd it last night.
Super disappointed in the Eddie Murphy moment because it was like the most overhyped television return in history. Like Eddie Murphy, after 30 years, returns to Saturday Night Live for 73 seconds, and he's not funny.
Right.
It was 73 seconds long. And dude, it was not funny.
My favorite part was Celebrity Jeopardy.
Yes!
That was fantastic. That made my heart
yes!
happy. And this is the thing, though. The whole entire time I'm watching, I'm like, and this is why I don't watch SNL anymore.
Right!
Because it's not this funny.
I will say... Kate McKinnon, who played Justin Bieber on Celebrity Jeopardy, is hilarious.
She's the next legend, I think.
She is.
She's going to be the one that goes on, mm-hmm. and people look back and they're like, man, Kate McKinnon was awesome.
She is fantastic. She does
Keenan, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think Keenan's really funny.
Yeah.
Dude, I was watching SNL a couple, like, what was it? Probably a few weeks ago. And it was, did you see the one where Keenan was a guy who was in prison up for parole?
Yeah.
And he ate people?
Yes.
They're like, we're literally never going to let you out. You ate people. And he's like, well, if you guys decide that you're going to let me out, yeah.
I am not the same man. That was a good one. It was like a Shawshank Redemption.
If you're asking me if when I released, if I'm going to eat another person, the answer is yes. Yes, I will.
That was good. He was being like a twisted Morgan Freeman character from Shawshank.
He's funny. He's funny, man.
Yeah, he did good. He definitely is. Oh, it was great. So, anyways,
I just miss all the you know, digital shorts and stuff like that. All the things that made SNL so funny over the years. It just seems like right now it's like a cast who's kind of like
spell.
Nah,
right.
Like none of them are really that funny.
So many. It was like a mass exodus. So many people left at the same time that you're left with like a couple really, really funny people. But like even Seth Meyers, he was the head writer, and now he's doing his own thing. And
yeah,
you can see that vacancy because you don't. You see all the like players that are in front of the TV, but you don't see the writers behind the screen.
Dude, how crazy was it to realize that Jim Carrey and Zach Galifianakis and Stephen Colbert, these guys all tried out for SNL and got rejected.
Steve Carell, who else was it?
Oh my god,
a huge list.
Lisa Kudrow.
Yeah, Lisa Kudrow.
All these actors who tried out and just they didn't at the time didn't think were funny enough.
But dude, Jim Carrey's got to be up on the top of that list of like
for real.
What the heck did
Lorne we do? Michaels was interviewed and said that there were four people mm-hmm. that he let slip away that he still regrets to this day, and it was Lisa Kudrow, who was Phoebe on Friends, Jim Carrey, it was Stephen Colbert, and Steve Carell were the guys that they just, for whatever reason, it didn't work out. But dude, could you imagine? I mean,
you know what I loved
it
about it,
out
though?
For them.
Is it's like for fans of SNL for a long time. You know, it played the Celebrity Jeopardy, and it kept so much of what was originally in that skit there.
Yeah.
You know, it was so great. It was so funny.
Kudo said that the writers and everybody involved. I loved it. Yeah, so.
Turd Ferguson. That was great.
Yeah. Yeah, see?
It is Shock Therapy Live. Welcome to the show. We're a little irreverent. We have fun.
Oh, man.
We're here if you need us. We're those friends.
It was so funny. Right after that happened, right after that played, I went on iTunes and I bought like the best of Chris Farley, the best of
good. He was great. And the funny thing
made
is,
me sad that he was like when I was watching, I was like, how sad is it that he's dead and he can't be there?
Mm-hmm. And that's it. His Phil Hartman, his 23-year-old daughter, made like a public appearance for the first time in a while in that spotlight
Dude.
Type area.
Phil Hartman,
because she actually changed her name to Jenny McCarthy.
Stop it.
No one had known that until now.
No one knew. Dude, yeah. So that was really, because seeing all the old Phil Hartman stuff as well. When I was a kid, I loved Phil Hartman. He was my guy. So
I loved the opera man.
Yes,
that was great.
They just brought it all back, dude. It was like, can you guys just do that all the time because it's hilarious? That's funny. So, yeah, but it just goes to show why good. It doesn't stay that way, because you have certain artists or certain cast members who break out who are hilarious, and then they go on and do bigger and crazier things, which is why you know that Mateo and I are slightly mediocre, because we're going to be here forever.
Yay!
So,
you know who I'm kind of bummed out who hasn't really broken out as much as I wish he could have is Andy Samberg, because he's hilarious. He's really done is Brooklyn Nine-Nine. The movies he's been in are terrible.
Yeah, I've heard that Brooklyn Nine-Nine is fantastic.
I love
and it
Brooklyn
won
Nine-Nine.
A ton of Golden Globes.
Yeah.
And,
hilarious.
Yeah. So
it's one of those shows Janae and I watch on Hulu when we're caught up on all other shows. We're like, let's watch Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Mm-hmm. It's like Brooklyn Nine-Nine, SNL, and like The Simpsons are those shows that we watch when we've watched everything else.
Yeah. That's how it was for me. And then it was like a Saturday or something, and I didn't have anything to do, and I started just mowing through all the Brooklyn Nine-Nine, and it's awesome. Now I'm totally like every... It comes
like
on Sunday
episodes.
Nights, and every Monday I'm like, Brooklyn Nine-Nine!
Dude, it's so funny. Just talking about the, like, you know, you can mow through episodes now. You know,
you
we live
can.
In such an interesting world. I was talking with Daniel Lesko the other night. We went to his house to watch a movie night, and we were like, you know what? Let's go old school. Let's go to Hastings and rent a movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because this is the thing.
You can still rent movies at Hastings?
Yes. Yeah. Dude, movie night's not special anymore. Like,
it's
I remember
not.
When I was a kid and my dad would call and say, hey, I'm on my way home. Should I pick up dinner and a movie at Blockbuster?
Oh,
it was like so exciting. It's like, movie night. Movie night. And now it's like, if you try to call your wife and say, hey, why don't we rent a movie on iTunes? Oh, okay.
Because
like, there's nothing special about it.
There's no order to it either, because I remember part of the fun was the back wall was like the new releases.
Yes.
So you walked the line, and this looks interesting, and you're reading the back of the box, and you're like, oh, I don't know. This is like $3.
No, and then when the movie you really want is rented out, and you go over to the front, and you're like, hey, can you check to see if anyone returned?
Yes.
Is there any in the box?
Yes.
Could you call the Blockbuster over on 4th Street and see if they have it? I'm willing to drive over there. They've got it. I'll go over there.
I got to see the Green
Mile. It made
it
so much more exciting. and also, the kind of movies that were coming out at that point, you didn't have a ton of independent releases.
Right.
Where, like, pretty much the movies that were released, there was a pretty good chance it was going to be a good movie.
Absolutely.
Like, in the 90s, there weren't a lot of crappy movies that were coming out.
Yeah.
You know, if there was a movie that was released, it was a Blockbuster.
Yeah, absolutely.
You had pretty good odds of getting a good movie. Now, it's not the case.
I feel you. And again, there's no, like, what are you going to, like, search engine it?
Dude.
You don't really have the same...
Yeah.
Movie
all the experience,
changed.
It's gone. Because I remember we used to go rent movies like as our group of friends in high school or college, and you would spend an hour in the video store together trying to decide on a movie.
Right.
Yeah.
And that was part of the night.
Yeah.
You knew that if you went to the video store, it was going to take at least an hour to pick the
movie.
And
you'd get candy and stuff.
Yeah.
And now it's like, it's just we get fatter and fatter. So it's like we rent a thing and it's like, oh, I really want candy. Oh, I don't want to get up.
The worst was when you rented a movie, you got home, you popped it in, and it wasn't rewound.
And
you're like, oh, man.
Did you guys have a rewind?
You the little car or whatever. You
stop.
It in
no, stop
like,
rewind.
Yeah,
stop rewind. Make it rewind faster.
Dude.
The experience is gone.
Dude. It just
no more
changed,
movies.
Man.
It did. Yeah, it did. Well, unchanging is Shock Therapy Live. We're here for you.
Here.
505-338-
Shock Therapy Live Juke.
3700.
STL Juke.
That's 338-3700 if you'd like to hang out with us. Or if you have a question, we tackle a lot of heavy issues. So if it's something that's heavy on your heart, but you don't necessarily want the world to know about it, just want to ask a question to us. Easy.
Or if you want us to talk about SNL and movies, just call us and let us know.
Or just don't do anything, and we'll keep hanging out and enjoying our show together by ourselves.
All right.
Studio@mystaticradio.com is the email address if you'd like to keep it anonymous. That's studio@mystaticradio.com or facebook.com/mystaticradio.
We have a Facebook comment from Katrina. It says, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. What does it mean to be fearfully made?
Well, that's a Theology Thursday question.
Yeah,
that's all.
What's
we got.
Up with Theology Thursday questions coming to Shock Therapy Live?
All right, let's clear it up. Shock Therapy Live is more of like personal diary type, you know, social issues, I guess, relationship stuff rather than you know, biblical definitions.
Right, 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 right. Well, what does it mean to be fearfully made? We are fearfully made?
Fearfully and wonderfully made.
Never thought.
You know, I honestly, in order to accurately answer that question, I'd really have to do a word study of fearfully.
Yeah.
Before we can really answer that question, I'd have to look at the word study for it, because obviously it's going to come from a Greek word, and we've got to see what that Greek word, what the root of that word is, and what the implications of that mean within the character of God.
Well, when you study scripture, usually, right, you have to take the context, and then you get the chapters around it, and so the chapter around Shock Therapy Live was Comics Corner before Shock Therapy Live. Daredevil is the man without fear, so does that mean Daredevil is of Satan because he wasn't fearfully made?
No,
because he has no fear.
Okay, well then what about the verse that says we have not a spirit of fear?
Oh, snap.
So is the Bible contradicting itself?
Oh, man. Thanks, Rob Bell, for answering a question with a question and confusing the crap out of everyone.
So the verse is actually it's actually Psalm 139 verse 14 is where that verse is at.
Right.
So let me Bible app this bad boy.
Bible app, Bible app.
505-338-3700. It is Shock Therapy Live. You can get a question in many ways. Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio, studio@MyStaticRadio.com, or you can give us a call. I know that producer Doug's getting a phone call right now.
He's standing by.
What is gotquestions.yahoo.com?
Well, I'm not doing God questions. I'm just literally Bible apping this bad boy.
There you go.
Let's see. So let's read it from verse 11. I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night, but even in darkness I cannot hide from you. To you the night shines as bright as day. Darkness and light are the same to you. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex, is what the NLT says. Mm. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. So that's what NLT says. So, you know, I would actually recommend whoever this is that wrote that in, your best bet is to do a Bible word study on fearfully and actually get the root word of that, because, again, NLT is changing the translation of it there from fearfully to, you know, more of a, you know, a what did it actually say?
You're complexly formed.
Wonderfully complex. Yeah. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. So, you know, I'd really want to get a word study of that word and see what that word actually means.
Booyah.
In context there.
Hey, can I say something?
Yes.
Thanks for not giving a Christianese crappy answer. We were talking about this last night, and sometimes growing up, it was like, hey, why does the Bible say this? And be like, just because it's God's word, just trust it, you know? And it's like, oh, well, that was the worst answer I've ever heard in my life. I cannot trust you anymore, and nor scripture, so thank you. So thanks for not, like, trying to fake an answer on that one and totally
I thought about
real.
It. Yeah, I was like, oh, no,
I
don't
know. That was a good response. So it's better if you don't have an answer to be honest about it than be like, nah, bro, now I'm going to totally fake my way through this.
Well, let me ask you a question. What's worse? Is it worse to not know an answer and be honest about it, or to pretend to know what the Bible is saying and right. misrepresent what God actually meant
exactly.
and what God actually said?
Exactly. Mm. But so often people do that. So kudos to you for not being a bag of lame.
Yes.
A bag of lame.
Yeah, I couldn't say what I wanted to say. Static!
Yeah, man, you guys are crazy, dude, but in the best way.
Thank you. Thank you.
So I just had a quick question. So if you grow up with someone, say you grow up with them in church, and you know you guys are all in youth together, you grow up, you're adults, you know, you have your families, and then, you know, you end up being under them, or not under them as far as just in ministry or whatever, but it's just like, you know, you kind of, you don't have a dislike for the person, but you kind of just find some of the methods that they do frustrating, I guess. Well, if you feel like it's, or sometimes you feel like they just suppress certain people's characteristics or to mold it to where it's like, well, I want this stuff. And they're looking more for authority than they are. That's how you feel. Is that something you want to address with the person, or kind of it's like, oh, maybe it's just because you kind of, you know, the guy and you're kind of just like, buzz with them, but then you're kind of, I don't know. Is it
welcome
something you think
ministry.
You should address, or is it something that you can just kind of let go and say, just shut up?
Let me try and rephrase your question. So basically what you're saying is, if you are in ministry and you are underneath the leadership of someone that you don't fully agree with or you don't believe they're doing it for the right reasons, do you have to follow their instruction/direction?
Not the right reasons, but just like if you grow up with someone, you know they're like, dude, I know you. That's kind of like ridiculous. You right. know, like,
are you talking
like,
about ministry or just life?
Just ministry.
Okay.
Okay.
So you grew up with somebody.
Grew up with somebody. So maybe it's like a family friend or something. Or maybe because I don't know. I'm trying to equate it in a way.
And you
that,
don't think they're doing it for the right reasons? Is that correct?
No, it's not that. It's just so much like I.
You
think,
just know
like,
their character?
Like, I just think sometimes they overcomplicate things in giving direction. And you kind of feel like, okay, well, it becomes to the point to where other people will have creative ideas, but then it's like, oh, no, they kind of suppress those ideas, so they're kind of like, oh, no, we're going to do it my way.
Right.
Well, you know,
But it's kind of like, dude, like, I get what you're trying to put off, but it's like you're going about it the wrong way, dude. But it's like...
You know, I don't know. I think here's kind of a big thing that I have. You know, I think if it's just a difference within leadership or styles of leadership, then it's something to just let go. If it's something biblical, if you grew up with somebody and they're in ministry and they're doing things that it's like, dude, that's not right. Like,
right.
that's just not right.
Right.
Then I think you owe it to them to say something to them. But if it's just that they have a different style of leadership, or if they have a different style, you know, of work or something like that that differs from yours or the way that you would do it, I don't think that it's productive, you know, to at that point criticize them, because, you know, I just know being in ministry, you get criticized all the time.
Yeah.
For everything that you do, every decision you make.
Yeah.
You know, at Calvary, if we raise the volume, we'll get letters from people, you know, praising that we raise the volume, letters from people that are mad at us that we raise the volume.
Yeah.
You know, if we put a screen on the stage, we'll have people that will say, thank you for putting a screen on the stage. Now we can see in the back. And we'll have people that say, are you trying to make it all about the person on the screen? You know, so it doesn't matter what you do, you always get, negative feedback. And so, you know, I think that as someone, especially a friend, someone on the you know, inside looking at it, as long as they're not doing anything unbiblical, I think what they need more than, you know, being told that the way that they're leading is wrong, they need encouragement. So,
yeah.
You know, that's what I would say. And again, I don't know all the story or exactly what this person's doing, but again, I would say that as long as they're biblical, they're not doing anything unbiblical, as long as they're not doing anything that's truly wrong, I personally would say leave it be.
Yeah, I mean, and there are times where you can have conversations, definitely, if you guys are family, friends, or you've grown up together, or you're really close, definitely input is always good. And so I just think about the fact that, Nate, you're my boss, you know, and we've been friends for years. Mm. And so if you were, like, taking it in a weird, freaky direction that I didn't necessarily agree. I don't even know if that's what he was saying, but like, I feel like under the fact that you are my leader and my boss, I'm going to do what I'm told, but I think we're close
to a certain,
enough,
yeah, to a certain extent though,
but
yeah.
I think that if we are as close of friends as we are, I can go, bro, you know, so I wouldn't, at the end of the day, leadership is leadership and God places people in authority for a reason. And
yeah.
We are still called to respect the authority that is placed above us. So definitely no undermining. And I love the way you said encourage, because if you can encourage a friend and go, dude, this is a fantastic idea. Have you thought about A, B, and C? Oh, that's really great. Because if when you come at somebody with criticisms, the guards immediately go up. But if you come with encouragement and say, hey, man, this is a really great idea. What about this as well, to like kind of piggyback off that?
Yeah.
They're going to be more open to it, because as you said, in ministry, we are criticized for everything. So
yeah.
A wall kind of does tend to come up a little bit when talking about a potential change in a ministry or doing something a little different. You know, the guard kind of comes up of like, well, wait, what are you talking about? Why? What do you mean? We're doing everything great. What do you mean?
And so I know in this context, a lot of times Christians can say, well, wounds from a friend are better than, you know, what's the passage? Wounds from a friend are better than some, that's like good things. Yeah. Praises from an enemy.
Lame.
Yeah. Back. Something like that. So, you know, I think Christians can use that verse a lot, but again, the only place where that would really fall into context again is if someone is living in sin, doing something that they
right.
shouldn't be doing, then those wounds from a friend are valuable.
Yeah.
You know, but again, if it's just a difference in leadership or in doing things, like I would
like
do that. Yeah.
Though.
If it's like, you know, I think that's the big thing. If it's like, well, I would do that differently. You know,
yeah.
I think every person in the world would do it differently than the other person, because we all work differently, you know?
Right.
So if it's just in leadership, that's what I would say.
Does that help you out?
No, absolutely, yeah, and I think you hit it, like, perfectly when you said, you know, it's just more of, like, a style, or, mm-hmm. like, it's more of the style of the way it is, like, that is, like, kind of exactly what I was feeling, like, it's just, it's nothing bad, or it's nothing unbiblical, it's just the style of it, we have different styles, which is cool, I like, thank you guys so much, yeah, I think I'm gonna give it another shot, just be like, I like the encouragement. Like, I didn't even think about that for some reason. Sometimes it's just maybe I need to just step back and really analyze myself. Like, what am I? What can I do to actually help the situation? That's awesome, dude. Thank you guys so much.
I got to tell you, because coming from somebody, you know, being in ministry, it's really tough.
Yeah.
And we will take encouragement all day long because you feel like you get beaten up day in and day out for different criticisms because people are quick to criticize. They're not always quick to praise what they like because if they like it, they just go with the flow. But if they don't like it, they will tell you they don't like it. So if you can be that encouragement for a friend in ministry, you never know what that may do to possibly grow them as well.
And especially for a leader in the church, you know, there's always that struggle between, you know, following what God is telling you to do and hearing what people want you to do.
Right.
And it's a really hard struggle for someone in ministry.
Yeah, dude.
And, you know, I think that we, you know, again, as other fellow laborers for Christ, we never want to be guilty of causing someone to stop doing what God has called them to do.
Yeah.
And so, you know, again, if they're leading and they're doing something, and maybe God has called them to lead in this way, and the reason they're doing it is because they feel that leadership, we don't want to be responsible for causing them to not follow the call of the Lord. Now, again, if they're doing something unbiblical, it's a different. They can't say, well, I'm doing what God told me to do. You know, no, if they're doing something unbiblical,
then
it requires you to step in and say something. But yeah, that I hope that helps.
Yeah, man. Thanks for the call.
Thank you guys so much.
Yeah, there you go. Dude. Yeah. Welcome to ministry.
Welcome to the jungle.
The no news is good news is a terrible place to be in when you're constantly, it's just criticism coming at you and there's never really any like, hey, good job.
You know, and that's why, you know, we've gone through changes at Calvary over the past, you know, the past several years, big changes. Calvary's a lot different than it used to be, you know, 10 years ago. My mom and I were talking about the other day, can't really recognize in a lot of ways Calvary from what it used to be. And with that, we got a lot of complaints going into that. But there's a certain point where you got to push through that, and you've just got to say, look, this is what we believe God has called us to do. And now we don't really get those complaints,
mm-mm.
you know, because the people who were complainers have either left or they've, you know, just stopped complaining and just trusted that we're doing what we feel we need to do.
Amen.
And I think that's, you know, that's what you really want to do as a leader. It's hard to do that. I can say that firsthand, being kind of on the forefront of doing what I believed God wanted me to do, you know, with the ministry that he had entrusted to me, and having a lot of people not like that.
Yeah.
It's really difficult. There was days where I'd get, you know, have a bunch of letters in my mailbox and I'd be like, am I doing the right thing? Am I making the right decisions? Is this church going to fall apart because I wanted the music to be a little bit more exciting? Yeah. Like, is that going to happen? You know, I remember dealing with that.
Yeah.
And it's a struggle, man, because you doubt the call of God and you end up doubting,
man,
you know.
Look at the fruit of it now.
Yeah, so, but it's hard, man, because you're sitting there like, man, does God really want me to do this? You know, does God really want me to make these changes? You know, is this really a good thing or am I doing? And you start to question, is it just for selfish ambition? And it's tough. It's really hard to be in ministry. So,
you know,
I think whoever your pastor is, I think they need encouragement.
Amen. 505-338-3700, the phone number. Let's go to line two. Hello, welcome to Shock Therapy Live. Hello.
Hello.
Hey. Oh, is this me?
It's you.
It is you.
Oh, sweet. Oh, my gosh. I've been waiting to call you guys for months.
Oh, wow.
Dude.
I'm tripping right now.
Don't blow
awesome.
It. I'm just kidding.
Don't blow it. Don't mess up.
This is
okay.
Your one opportunity. We're never going to answer your call again. Unless it's
that
awesome.
Okay, so I have kind of a weird question, I guess, maybe. I'm trying to see. Oh, gosh. Okay, well, let me say this in less than 15 words, hopefully, not. Boy, you guys, it's this long story. So I'm 19 years old. I'm almost 20, so I'm pretty young. I have never dated before in my life. Just because I didn't want to, just, you know, I don't know. Not that it's bad or anything, but, just haven't done that. And I'm wondering if I should pursue, I guess, kind of this godly relationship. There's this really cool guy, that just freaking loves God so much. And is really on the same page as me on a lot of the stuff that I want to do. But, I don't know. I guess I'm the girl, and I kind of don't want to maybe do that. So I don't know. I don't know what's a good way that I like an appropriate way to be like, hey man, because he'll talk to me sometimes, but I don't know what to say. You know what I'm saying? Like, so what's a good? I don't know how to be wise and like appropriate about like, yeah. Hey man, I'd
you
totally
called the
be
right
interested.
Place. Oh, this is good,
dude. This is a great question.
This
I'm stoked
is.
You called in.
Yeah.
You know, this is what I would say. I would say, first and foremost, pursue a godly friendship with this guy.
Yeah.
You know, and again, there's nothing weird for me. You know, could it be a little weird if you guys haven't developed a friendship? You'd be like, hey, I really like you. Let's develop a relationship.
He's like,
that's strange.
Who are you?
That can get a little weird.
Right.
But I don't think it's weird for you to come and say, hey, let's hang out sometime. Like, let's get a group of friends and let's go hang out. Like, I just want to become a better friend with you, or I want to develop a friendship with you. Yeah. I don't think there's anything weird about that. And I think that's perfectly all right, perfectly cool to do. And I can just say, from testimony of my own life, developing a good friendship with somebody that you're interested in having a relationship with is always a good idea.
Yeah.
It's always better to develop a friendship before you develop a relationship.
Yeah.
My wife and I were really good friends before we ever started dating, and I'm really thankful for that. And so, you know, as you look at this guy and you say, man, this guy seems like a guy who we're on the same page. He loves the Lord. I really want to develop a relationship with him. Develop a friendship with him first and pursue that. And there's nothing wrong with pursuing that. Whether you're a girl or a boy, it doesn't matter who you are in the relationship, there's nothing wrong with pursuing a godly friendship with another believer. And so I would approach it from there.
Yeah.
And then as the friendship begins to progress, maybe he's a little got cold feet, he's scared of diving in, and maybe taking the first step. After a good friendship has been developed, I don't think there's anything wrong with down the road saying, hey, I want to be honest with you. I've got feelings for you, and it's a little bit deeper than just a friendship. I don't think there's anything wrong with doing that, but I would not do it right away. I would wait till there's a good friendship that's been developed.
Yeah, where are you guys as far as that goes? Have you developed a friendship? Are you close? I mean...
Well, I mean, a little bit. We,
okay.
Like,
I saw
actually,
him at church on stage last week, and I'm just running into him.
And his hair is just amazing. I know we're going to get married. It's crazy.
Right.
No, we actually have, we'll do like a little bit. Like, it's kind of awkward, mostly because I'm just freaking awkward. But anyways, we have, like, we've gone to a conference together. He's one of the leaders in, one of the student ministries here on our campus.
Okay.
So, and I went to a conference with just like a few people. So it was only like, you know, five or six of us, whatever, go up to this place. And it was, so you get to know people pretty well on that. But then like, that was like a year ago. And after that, didn't really hang out that much. What happened, this is so stupid because girls are dumb and we do stuff like this. Like, so I didn't even really think of him that way during that conference or whatever. But it was just after like coming back and, cause after that we were like Facebook friends or whatever. And I was noticing the stuff he was posting on Facebook and, you know, I don't know, things he does and the people he hangs out with. Stuff. And I was like, man, this guy's pretty legit. This is cool. And he does go to church with me. So we'll kind of talk, but it's not really that deep. It's like, hey man, how's it going? Great. That's cool. And that's like about it.
It's good to
see
you.
So that's why I'm kind of like still. And I was telling my friend about this, and she was like, "Dude, you need to freaking go talk to him and ask him out." And I was like, "No, I'm not going to do that." And she's like, "Then shut up and stop complaining to me." And I was like, well, "Okay, that's
a
valid.
Good friend. Keep that
so,
friend."
So check it out. So, so this is what you do. This is like undercover matchmaking.
Yeah, dude.
And what you do is you get your friends together and you say, "Hey, let's plan like you know putt putt night, or like let's plan a movie night, or let's go plan to do something fun." And you guys invite him as well to be at this thing where it's a big group of friends, it's not threatening, and you just start doing things like that where you start trying to cultivate, you know, just in a group setting, a deeper friendship with this guy so that you can find more time to hang out. And then while you're there with the group, just find ways to, you know, just talk to him. So, how you doing? And, you know, you just start to develop that friendship. That's the way it starts first. Like, I know with my wife, when we started developing a friendship, it started that I was hanging out with her and other people together. And then as we began to do that more often on a weekly basis, we'd all hang out together as a group of friends. Then it became like, well, hey, you know, let's go do this together. Like, hey, you love snowboarding, I love snowboarding. Let's go snowboarding together. Not dating, but let's just be friends. Let's go snowboarding.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. And it just began to develop a deeper friendship. And so I think that there's ways to do that, you know, without coming across as awkward or too forward in developing that kind of a friendship.
For reals.
Okay.
And to echo everything that Nate says, I agree wholeheartedly. But also, sometimes dudes are slow and dumb. I was an idiot. I had no idea that my wife had any interest in me whatsoever. And we would hang out because, you know, she was in a band with my best friend. And so I kind of knew her, but didn't really super know her well enough because I was terrified because it was like, dude, it's Chrissy from the Echoing Grins. Totally cool. She ended up asking Joey for my number and saying, hey, you work at a video game store? And in real life, years later, found out she had no desire or care for video games whatsoever, but totally used that as like a bridge catalyst to lie her way into my life and pretend like she cared about video games.
So your relationship is built on video game lies.
Our relationship is built on a lie. So I've been married 12 years, and now I have a question. I'm just kidding.
All right, guys, now that you've done the amateur advice.
Oh, here comes the Southerner.
It's time for Mateo.
The Southern Belle over here is going to give you his thoughts.
This is all you got to do. Make him super jealous. That's all you got to do. You just surround yourself with dudes, and then you'll be like, all these dudes are interested in me. And now, what's your thing? What are you
going to
do?
Because
this dude's awesome, and that dude's awesome, and what are you going to do? I'm just kidding. Don't do that.
Yeah, don't do that.
That's actually, well, part of the struggle is, like, I've been pretty patient about waiting in general, just for, you know, I'm like, I'm not freaking out about it. Most people are like, holy crap, I need to be married right now. I'm going to be single forever.
Right.
I'm like, it's cool, you know?
Yeah.
But the struggle now is that, like, at work, every freaking guy and their mom is, like, asking, not their mom, that's it, but every guy is asking me out, or, like, you know, and they know, and they're not gubby guys, you know what I'm saying? And they're like, hey, girl, you want to go get some coffee? No, I don't.
Right.
Because you're weird and you're not. You know what I'm saying?
I'm really
so that's
glad
like,
their moms aren't asking you out as well, because
yeah,
that'd be even worse.
That was
a whole other
whole
episode.
Level of
or what
that.
If they come with their moms and ask me? Like, they're like, it's like, yeah, like
that's worse.
Hey,
that's
worse. I don't have a car. My mom can drive us to the movies.
My mom's waiting outside.
Dude, that changes everything. That'd be so cool. I'd be so down for that. Not even.
You need to call in more often.
Dude,
this is a fun conversation.
Favorite
hey,
phone call
yeah,
in the
have
long
more
time.
Problems and call in more often.
Please do.
Have more problems all the time.
Let me ask you this. Does the mystery guy listen to Shock Therapy Live?
Oh, I hope not.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Man.
Man.
I hope so.
Dude, we might
have
solved your problem.
Yeah, for real. We could totally,
All right, let's put on some mood music and let's have a little conversation with mystery guy if he's listening to the radio right now.
I'll post this on Facebook and tag him in it. Be like, this is Shock Therapy. LOL.
Yeah,
don't tag him.
Come on, let's get that mood music back.
Here's what we're going to do, okay? It is
Mystery Man,
February
if you're listening right now,
18th.
We want to let you know you got a girl. You got a girl who loves you, boy.
You have
she's out there
April.
Right. She's out there right now. She's calling in. She's got questions. But the question we have for you is, what you gonna do with the love that's come to you?
Wow. No. Okay. So you have until April. All right. You get going on this. Don't blow it, because in April you're gonna call back and you're gonna give us his phone number. And if you haven't stepped up to the plate, we're asking him out for you.
Yes.
On Shock
Therapy. Oh my God.
Oh snap!
I'm gonna give you his phone number. You're gonna call him. Hey man.
Hey bro. Check
hey,
it out.
Bro. Here's the thing.
We
can
do it with
it.
Like you, like hidden on the phone. And be like,
yes.
Hey, so there's this, you know, there's this girl. She kind of likes you. We just want to get your take on it. What do you think about this? We can do like a little, like, you know, secret deal going on.
Yeah, dude, let's do this. Come on, let's play matchmaker.
We can do like the opposite of what Buck and Dex do, like the Cheaters Hotel.
Yeah, exactly.
We can do the opposite
That's totally
of that.
What I was thinking.
Yeah,
Matchmaker's
like, actually,
Hotel.
Instead of destroying lives, we're helping
dude.
Like
and
make
we can,
new
we
lives.
Can like super
we're
Jesus.
New
we can
yes.
we can like super Jesus juke and Christianese it. Like we can
totally.
Be like, hey, what's up? This is Catalyst Conference. We're calling you. We're giving you four free tickets to Catalyst Conference this year, airfare included. Who do you want to bring to Catalyst Conference? Four youth leaders. Your favorite four youth leaders.
Yeah.
And then we can narrow it down and say, but what if that person couldn't come? Then who would you pick?
Just
right? But then what if that person couldn't
come? No, sorry.
You don't
sorry.
Get the tickets.
Two of the tickets are just for girls.
Yeah,
so you have to pick two girls that you want to bring
girls
with you.
In ministry that
oh my God.
And then you can know who the other girl is and you can go beat her up.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That sounds legit.
Oh, Shock
That's
Therapy
legit.
Live.
That's
dude,
awesome.
Thank
Man,
you so
okay.
much. Keep us updated on
yeah,
this.
That
we
would
really
be great.
Want to know. So.
Okay. We'll do.
All
That'll
right.
give me some accountability. Thanks
go,
for answering that.
All right.
All right. Have a good day.
There you go.
You too. Later.
Later. Dude, favorite call?
That was fun.
All right, well, the next one's going to be... Oh, and a lady called in during that to... She wanted to encourage the girl to really approach it with prayer, too.
Amen.
Prayer plays a huge role in all of that.
Okay.
And definitely, you know, put that in there.
Well, speaking of relationships...
Yeah, line
it
more.
Is the week of Valentine's Day, so it makes sense. You know, people still love in the air.
Post-Valentine's.
Yeah, post. A lot of breakups. Line one. Hello, welcome to Shock Therapy Live.
Yo, guys, it's Anonymous.
What's up, Anonymous?
What up, Anonymous?
We appreciate your hacker work.
What up? That girl is super cool, that last caller.
Did we just make a match? Are you about to swoop in?
No, I got another question.
This is the boy who she likes. I recognize her voice. I've been having feelings for her, too.
God. Come on, guys. Let's connect this. Let's make this happen. All right, what's your real question?
I got a question. Me and my ex-girlfriend, we're really cool. We talk. Will that hinder, do you think, other relationships, knowing that, you know, it won't go anywhere, or potentially won't go anywhere, but do you think that that'll hinder other relationships that other people see by me and her hanging out, having a past?
I say it's 50-50 because here are my rebuttal questions, like my immediate questions are this. What is how did the relationship end? Did it end well? Did you guys just both decide, hey, maybe we're not compatible in this way, but we're still really good friends, so let's remain friends? Or was it awkward? Like,
well, it didn't end well, but we're really cool about it. We've grown. It's been about 2.5 years.
Okay.
Well, actually more than that. But we both love the Lord, and you know, just wanted to know if you think that that'll hinder any future relationships between anybody else.
What is your purpose and plan for like maintaining this friendship with this girl? I mean, are you hoping that there is something there potentially again? Are you wanting to rekindle something, or is it truly just like, oh, we're just friends?
No, we're just friends. We have a lot in common. We like some of the same things. We like to. We both like to exercise, stuff like that, so
okay.
It's just common stuff. Do you think that that'll hinder?
I was wondering, is he asking so he can be like, yes, I'm going to sabotage every other relationship so I can get her back?
I think sometimes that can be a good thing, because if you're interested in somebody else and you're friends with like somebody you dated in the past, sometimes that can bode well, because it's like, hey, look, I was in a relationship. We weren't compatible, but we remained friends.
Yeah.
I'm not a volatile person, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. I think it really comes down to, if a relationship does, you know, begin to happen, being upfront that you still have a friendship with your ex. Because if you didn't tell a new girl that you were good friends with your ex-girlfriend, she found out later on, oh, he's best friends with his ex-girlfriend.
Right.
That could be bad for a relationship.
Yeah.
So I think it really comes down to your transparency within your next relationship.
Mm-hmm.
As to how that's going to play, how that's going to play into that. And then, you know, I also think it just depends, on the terms of how that friendship goes. Like, you know, like, let me say it from this. If you guys both served in the same ministry and, you know, it would be understandable that you guys would see each other and be friendly and hang out with each other. But if it was like, I just know, like, let's say I'm just going to use it for my standards with my wife. Like, if my wife, you know, she had an ex-boyfriend. If she like still, when I was getting ready to date her, was like hanging out with her ex-boyfriend on a weekly basis, that would be a deterrent for me.
Hmm.
I would not be okay with that.
Yeah.
It would be strange for me. And so I guess it really just depends on the terms on which you're hanging out with her, how often you're hanging out with her.
And what kind of relationship you had. Because my wife dated this dude before we got married, but it was just, you know, not a super serious relationship. They kind of dated. He is one of my best friends in the world.
Yeah.
Like, for real.
Yeah.
He's one of my favorite people in the entire universe.
Now,
and so that was
now,
it. It wasn't
if they
like
would
a
have had a, if they would have had an ungodly relationship where they were intimate with each other,
is not
stuff
enough
like, I mean,
bleep
that's.
Buttons in the world for that on this Christian radio station.
Right. There's not even a bleep button.
There
so, you know, again, it depends on the status of your relationship. You guys had an ungodly relationship where you guys were intimate with each other before marriage, you guys had sex before marriage, then you cannot be friends with her and never have another relationship.
Throw my headphones at
it gets really, 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 you know, gets really complicated there.
Oh, yeah.
And so if you guys had a godly relationship that was a good godly relationship, then I don't think there's any issue with it. But it really depends on, you know, the terms of your relationship when you guys were together.
Does that help?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, it does. Thanks, guys, very much.
All right, man. Thanks for the call.
All right. Later, bye.
Peace, Anonymous.
I couldn't agree with you more. than what you just, because that's it. Chrissy, she was awesome. She had great relationships and she had godly relationships. And so she remained friends, with like exes. It's weird to even call them exes because they just kind of dated, whatever, different cities, different states, whatever, because it was, you know, on the road. And so that she maintained godly relationships.
Yeah.
So she remained friends with this one dude in particular whom I love. Me, however,
yeah,
did not have godly relationships. And if I was like, oh, Chrissy, high school girlfriend showed up. Yeah, we're totally friends again. And it's, I would be murdered. I would be killed dead.
Yeah, it would be bad.
Because it's a wholly different universe. Like,
yeah,
we had wholly different relationships before marriage.
Yep.
And so, yeah.
Because this is the thing, let's be honest.
Man.
Like, yeah. Like whether you're, you know, a guy or a girl, knowing that somebody else has seen your
right.
spouse naked makes you want to be like, I don't ever want to see that person's eyes. Because, like, I see in their eyes... Like
my future,
like, because if I look into their eyes and know that their eyes have seen my spouse naked,
my spouse's body,
dude, I'm gonna pluck those eyes out. I'm gonna pop those things.
That's not what that
like little juju berries. Plop them out.
What's a juju berry?
I don't know, but I'm gonna pop them.
Ex's eyes cause you to stumble. You rip their eyes out.
I don't think that's what it says.
That's not what it says.
No,
okay,
well.
It's like I just pictured like a movie scene. Like if I look into their eyes, all of a sudden I see into their eyes like
you
the future
the
of me
the
beating them with a club, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't look into their eyes because I see my future, and it scares me.
Man. You know, and I'll say this too. It all depends on like the break.
Gosh.
Like you guys, what was the breakup like? He said they're 2 years removed from a relationship and they're friends again.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is, if one of them is inside still harboring any little shred
dude.
Of hope for that relationship to come back together, then I would say be really careful
mm-hmm.
about being close because you're just pretty.
Dude,
you're essentially just dragging.
What I
want to
know
along.
Is if they once loved each other and now they really like each other. Why not just love each other again? Why don't they just get
know,
together
right?
again?
Friendships are so hard.
It's like, yeah, I've got this ex girlfriend. Yeah. She's really beautiful. I really loved her. We broke up, but now we're super good friends. We hang out all the time together. It's like,
what's the problem? right, right.
Guys, this is rom-com territory.
Is it?
We're writing a movie.
Oh man.
They're gonna meet at Fenway Park and get married, aren't they?
Yep, they're going to have a meet cute.
Oh, wow. Oh, man.
Static.
Yo, what's up, guys?
What's
just
up?
You know.
Oh, it's so funny you guys are talking about this because I have a wicked story, man.
Okay.
Oh, man.
What?
No, it's crazy because me and my wife, we've been together since we were 17. She was 16, and we had a couple of sexual relationships before each other, mm-hmm. which I know. Shut up, guys.
I didn't say anything! In New Mexico, nothing surprises me.
He had a head nod, though. He had a head nod.
No, but we were in San Diego, so.
Oh, okay. All right.
Californians, bro.
So, check this out. So,
what are you doing here?
Gosh.
I ended up coming out here, then she came out here, our kids, you know, I brought
the
family out
to
here.
You took the
5
to the
405? But, you know, what's so funny is I found out while I was here, my cousin, real close cousins, like, super close, we grew up together, She's dating one of the guys that she was with, and they have a kid together now.
Mm.
And we're supposed to go back in June for her sister's wedding, and I'm like, dude, I don't even want to see him. I really
So your wife dated this dude who is now like with your cousin.
Yeah, and they have a kid together, and you know they're going to get married and everything.
This is the California.
What are you
dude,
doing here?
This is crazy. So what's your question?
Yeah,
like,
it's so weird. I could not. And then I'm like, dude, there's no way I'm going over there and going to hang out and visit them.
Right.
And she's like, why not? It was a long time ago. And I'm like, dude, you don't even know. Like, dude, I would just want to, like you said, man, I would want to just choke them out, even though we weren't together or anything.
Man, but here's the
okay. I've got a personal story to share with this.
See, yeah,
because. We were just, my wife and I, my wife grew up in California too, bro. And she cruised the 73
Wait
to the 405 all the time.
Devin, what are you doing here?
So,
are you down here?
We're carrying this way too far. This is
you're
fun.
Really
I love this.
Right.
Okay. So anyways, we went to California and we were there visiting her parents. She told me before we went, she's like, my ex-boyfriend might be at this thing that we're going to. And this was an ex-boyfriend that I really don't like because... I'll just leave it at that. I don't like him. I don't
right.
like this guy.
That's totally
okay?
acceptable.
I don't like him.
I'm a dude. I hear you.
Not because I don't like him. I just don't like the idea of him.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, if he as an individual didn't exist, I'd be happier. Not because I know anything about him or about him as a person or that he's a bad person. He might be a great person. I just don't like the idea of him existing.
Okay. Totally agree.
Leave it at that. So we'll stop there. So anyways, so she says, hey, there's a possibility that he might be at this function. I'm like, that's awkward. I don't want to go now. And she's like, well, you know, it's not going to be weird. I just wanted you to be aware of it. And I was like, okay. And so I was kind of like preparing myself for it. And I was like, you know what? I can either be like a total jerk and like cold shoulder to this guy and like, you know, like pretend like I can make it super awkward. That's what I realized. I can make it super awkward. And when I see him, be like, hey, and like not look at him and not talk to him and make it super weird. Or I can just treat him like another person.
Yeah.
And so, so we saw him at this event and I was like, hey, what's up, man? I shook his hand and ended up talking to him and, you know, ended up at this whole event, you know, having a good time at this event. And afterwards, I told my wife, I was like, you know what? Surprisingly, even though like, I don't want to like that guy.
Yeah.
I think if we lived in California, I'd probably want to be his friend.
Yeah.
He's kind of a cool guy.
It's super
funny. So it was super funny that I was like, you know, because this is the thing. Now this guy is engaged, about to get married.
Oh, cool.
And you know, my wife and I are married. And we have kids. And I was like, you know what? I double date with this guy and his wife.
All right.
It ended up not being weird at all. Nearly as weird as I thought it would be.
And that's what I think, because when we run around like. You can choose to operate out of jealousy constantly if you're a guy. You can totally make that call. And I'm not saying for your situation, pool boy, that's what, you know, that you should just totally be like, yeah, I'm going to go do this. But I will say this, you can really overcome situations if you get to a point to where you're like, that was in the past and they had more together than I wish they had. But me sitting here being jealous over it isn't going to change that.
Absolutely.
I can be a better person and totally negate the situation by who I am confident. You know, and showing love to others in Christ.
Dude.
God, that sounds so good. It sounds good.
It can be done.
Pool boy, let me tell you. My wife was in one serious relationship before me, and so as I said, you know, I'm really good friends with this one dude. Not really good friends with this other dude. Mm. Lives in a different state and was driving through town years ago. My wife and I, we were, you know, a couple years married at the time, and same thing with Nate. Like, if I could just erase the existence of said person and like Back to the Future style and old yearbooks, if he could just disappear, dude, that'd be so great, right? But he can't, and so he actually called when he was coming through town respectfully and asked me if it was okay, if, you know, nice. Man, I haven't seen your lady in some years. And I'm like, yeah, that's freaking
right
you haven't.
If you told me that you saw her last week, you'd be, you know, bullet in the head now.
Right. And so,
this is Albuquerque.
But, you know, just wanted to know if it was cool to come to church and like, kind of catch up at church in a public setting where I was going to be as well. And, dude, everything in me wanted to be like, no, you can't, because my property. Oh, wait, this is my bride, and she's a totally...
She's a person.
Human being that's not a character in my story. She's a human with emotions. And so I said, right on, man, and why not? And he showed up, and at the end of the day, bro, and I don't mean to sound like the dude here and just be like, psh, you got the girl. Who cares? Like,
yeah,
you got the girl.
Part.
And that's like my wife and I left church that day arm in arm. And I was like, yeah, I'm leaving with the girl because she's my bride and we're in love. And that was years ago. And so if you show love and grace and compassion and everything that God has already shown you, because it's a mistake from the past, it's a sin from the past, it's totally removed.
Right.
If you can just show that, it will go leaps and bounds in your actual current relationship with your spouse. Because
you're totally correct.
I'm telling you, man.
And also your relationship with God, too.
Amen.
It will go leaps and bounds in your relationship with God.
Dude, if you can...
And no one.
Can
and by the way,
guy.
None of us are telling you got to become buds with this dude.
Not at all.
No.
You know?
Believe me, that won't happen.
Yeah, but you can easily be cordial.
Amen.
You know?
Yeah, for sure. And you know what's so funny is... When I found out, it was like, I was just like, oh, why did it have to, why?
Natural human response.
You know, and it's so weird because me and my wife have been together We're going on 18 years.
Dude!
Dude.
Dude, I know. It's crazy. Right? I know, man. But it was just, you know what I mean? If it was a relationship that wasn't intimate, you know what I mean?
Yeah. We totally
that's
know.
Different.
Yeah, yeah, no, totally.
We totally we know.
And that's why we can. That's
you
why.
You know what? I mean, I'm going to be in prayer. Keep me, you know, because I do want to go and I want to see my family. I haven't been home in 3 years. You know what I mean? So it's going to be tough.
Just don't take a balloon
home. And know that we are all coming at this from the exact same angle. We
right on.
Totally understand where you're coming from and are saying, dude, you can do this because.
Oh, yeah, I'll tell you right now.
You on your own, in your flesh, can't. But nothing is impossible with God. And so if you can just fall back on Him and just allow yourself to exude that love and grace and mercy and compassion that He has shown you, it's going to go leaps and bounds. I promise.
I totally agree, man.
Go home and be a freaking awesome, awesome dude.
All right, dude, I love you guys,
love
man.
You too,
guys
are the best.
All right, man. Thanks. Peace.
Woo! This has been a crazy relationship show.
We got a Facebook comment.
Okay.
I'm in a public speaking class this semester, and I have a student's choice speech coming up. The topic is completely my choice. I have had it on my heart to share my faith, and I got the okay from my professor on the topic, as long as I keep it more of a life journey sort of speech.
Mm.
I've been discouraged by some people saying it may not be a good idea, and I've had some tell me it's a great idea. What do y'all think?
So she's going to talk about her faith?
Mm-hmm. Like, is the opportunity to approach her faith as kind of a life journey
it's
type
her life
situation?
Journey.
Right. Is that good? Because she says she's had some people discourage her. It's not a good idea, and some people say it's a great idea.
I think what's great, you know, it sounds like this is probably a college course, mm-hmm. is what I would assume.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think it's great because I think, you know, the one thing that nobody can take from you is your testimony.
Right.
Because it's personal, is what happened to you.
Yep.
And so I think you have an opportunity to share your testimony with these people, and not share necessarily what the Bible says, not share, you know, why your worldview is better than their worldview, but genuinely just share what happened to you personally and what God did personally within your life.
Yep.
And no one can say, nuh-uh, because it didn't happen to them. It's your story.
Right.
It's your life.
Amen.
So I think it's a great opportunity to share what happened personally in your life. And then if people don't like it, then you have an opportunity to say, well, hold on a second. You always tell me to be, you know, accepting of your life.
Yeah.
And now you're telling me you're not accepting of my life.
Right.
And it gives you a good opportunity, I think, to, you know, put their money where their mouth is and, you know, see if they really are accepting of whatever, you know, that other people want to do.
Ooh,
but I think it's good. I think you should share it.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree.
You want another relationship
we
question?
Have like 2 minutes. Do
You've
you
got
think
like
we can tackle
minute.
It in two? Yeah, we have less than that.
Let's save it for next week.
Oh, man.
We'll get to your long-distance relationship question next week.
Ooh.
So this will be a practice and training for it because you're going to have to wait.
Oh. We do this every Wednesday, 9 a.m. Mountain Standard Time.
Dude.
Yeah.
Fun.
If you
fun
miss
show.
Any part of Shock Therapy Live today,
that's the good when relationship stuff. That's what
oh,
this
man.
Show is
that's
all about.
That's exactly what it is about, right there. So thanks.
We should
to
just change it and
in.
Call it like, I don't know, something like, I don't know, 50 Shades of Cray.
Cray,
cray.
Oh gosh, never. Speaking of, we'll be talking about that Friday morning.
Yeah.
50 Shades of Gray and the Christian response.
Mm-hmm. Response
with Sam Swan for the Baptist Convention of New Mexico. If you missed any part of Shock Therapy Live,
dude,
download the
podcast. I saw some ignorant Christian say that 50 Shades of Gray was more dangerous than ISIS.
What?
And I literally read that and I was like, that person needs to be slapped.
The slap.
Bye.
Comments made do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Real Doctors, Moms, Calvary of Albuquerque, any political party, Puppies, Static Radio, or, well, just about anybody else except for the moron who made us use the delay.